We shall turn now to the portion read in the book of Psalms, Psalm 119 and verse 105. Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the testimony of the psalmist regarding his own personal relationship to the Word of God and his response to that Word. You will see throughout this Psalm 119 the many references that he makes to God's Word and how he describes it and how he expresses himself. It is very obvious that he has a very intimate and a very deep knowledge of the various aspects of divine revelation. Here in this verse he says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. But you will see that throughout the psalm, referring to the same word, he sometimes speaks of God's precepts, on other occasions of God's law, on other occasions of his commandments, and so on. So it's very obvious that the psalmist had a very special place in his thinking and in his heart for the Word of God. And here he speaks of the usefulness of that Word in his own experience. It is one thing to be familiar with the Word of God, to be familiar even with the contents of the Word of God, the Bible, and yet to have no practical or experiential experience of its power, no particular personal use for that Word. The psalmist here, when he refers to it on this occasion, he says, it is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And as enabled, we would, of course, by way of application, considering what the psalmist says about his own relationship to the Word of God, we would believe that what is true of the psalmist ought to be true of every one of us. It ought to be true of every professing child of God, and even it ought to be true of those who are not professing to be the children of God. And we shall therefore consider, first of all, the psalmist's knowledge of the Word of God. His particular knowledge of that word. Then we may consider, secondly, the psalmist's reception for that word. How do you and I respond to it? We may indeed believe and agree it's the word of God. What kind of a reception does it have with us personally? We shall consider the psalmist's reception for the word. And then, thirdly, his use of that word. He made use of it. He didn't just receive it as the truth. He made personal use of that word. It became an intricate and important, a vital part of his very life, the Word of God. And then we may note something of the psalmist's confidence in that Word. He was able to put his trust in it to such an extent, he said, it is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. And then lastly, as enabled, we may consider something of the psalmist's dependence upon it, his dependence upon the word of God. First of all then, his knowledge of that word. And notice what he says, thy word is a lamp. Regardless of my relationship to it, regardless of my response to it, the word of God is a lamp and a light. It is a source of light, a source of understanding spiritually, because the light, of course, that the psalmist is speaking about is light in the understanding. And the psalmist knows and appreciates the purpose of the word of God. And no doubt there is joy in his heart as he meditates upon it. And this, of course, is the reason he understands and knows so much about it. Go back to verse 97. What does he say there? Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation. It is my personal meditation all the day. My mind is constantly absorbed with the word of God. My mind is constantly upon that word. Oh, how love I thy law. How I love it. What is the evidence that I love it? It is my meditation all the day. Now let's stop for a moment. How are you or I going to determine whether we love God's word or not? Oh, we might say, well, I like to hear it preached. I like to hear it explained. I enjoy that. But the evidence that we love it is in the extent of our meditation upon it. That's how the psalmist knew that he loved the law of God. He spent so much time with it. His mind was focused upon it. It was a treasure to him. It was riches to his soul. And he says, it is my meditation. Now you and I are creatures who ought to meditate. Meditation is an exercise of soul that has declined greatly in the lives and in the experience of professing people. But it is vitally important, the soul's growth in grace, the soul's spiritual health depends so much upon it. My meditation. Now, if we're not meditating upon the word of God, we can be sure of this. There are occasions when we are meditating upon many other things. You will find people meditating upon their problems. You will find people meditating upon their grievances. And they're meditating upon their hurts and their pains inflicted by what others have done or said or whatever. But how much time do we find ourselves meditating upon the word of God itself? Finding the time to be pleasant. Finding the occasions to be sweet. Finding them a delight. Wishing we could continue. Though at times we're called to give our time and our energy to so many legitimate matters and concerns in life. Yet we just delight in those seasons when we can concentrate our minds without disturbance, without any interference, on the Word of God, just listening to God speaking to us, listening to what He has to say to the benefit of our souls. The psalmist again in verse 99 says, I have more understanding than all my teachers. Why? Why have I got such understanding? For thy testimonies are my meditation. As I meditate, I learn. As I meditate, I develop my understanding. We live in a mad world where everyone seems to be rushing around, so busy with this, so busy with that, and we have become conditioned into thinking, oh well, I'm not living really unless I'm doing this. Life isn't really worth much unless I'm doing that. And everyone around me is doing all these things, and so I want to join in. Let the world go its own way. The health of our souls is bound up with this exercise, meditating upon God's Word. And the more the psalmist meditated upon it, the more he understood it. And he says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He would view the Word of God from various vantage points, and he would understand its application in all the varied circumstances in life. He would find the precepts of the Lord in the Word. He would find the law to govern his life day by day in the Word. He would find there the mind of God. Thy Word. You'll notice that the psalmist is here speaking to God. He's not speaking to his neighbors. He's addressing God. And God can't be deceived. And we must ever remember that we can say things as though we're addressing God and we're saying them before our fellows. And because we imagine it's bound to be impressing our fellows, it'll be impressing God. But God knows the truth. And the psalmist is speaking to God of his own word. When last did you really have a conversation with God? Oh, you might have family worship, and you might go through the various performances. But when, my dear friend, did you last have an intimate and an honest conversation with God? And when did you last have a conversation with God about His own word? You come from Sabbath to Sabbath and you expect to hear the word preached and explained and expounded. Do you go from the service of God to talk to God about His word that you've heard? Do you thank Him for it? Do you praise Him for it? Do you show your appreciation to God that He actually has given you His word, and that you have found it in truth to be a lamp, and you go home and you say, blessed God and Father in heaven, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Oh, I thank you for that light. I went to the house of God. Some of the people of God know it literally. They go to the house of God feeling they're in great darkness. And they've been pleading with God for some light. And then the word of God, perhaps the Spirit takes it and applies it. And they say to themselves in their hearts, that's exactly what I needed. That's the very word. I need it. My soul was crying out for it. And they just take it. And they say it's very good. It's very sweet. It's very comforting. It's very encouraging. How many of us bow down in humility, in contrition before God, maybe even in tears, with a broken heart, like this psalmist, to say, I'm poor and needy, but I've discovered today through his word, the Lord thinketh upon me. He was thinking upon me, directed the minister to say something to take me to the word of God, just the very word that I needed. The psalmist had this understanding, this knowledge of the nature and the character and the purpose of the word. He says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. What an amazing provision. The apostle, when he's writing his epistles to those who've been converted out of heathenism, what does he remind them was their state and condition before the Spirit of God divinely quickened them? They were in darkness. They were in darkness. Heathen darkness. They were in such darkness, they were lost. They were alienated from God on their way to eternity, lost and undone in their sins, in utter darkness, without any light to guide them to God, to be reconciled to God. The psalmist says, thy word that God has given, his own divine revelation, this is its very character. This is its purpose. It is intended to be a lamp and to be a light. God delights in giving light to perishing men and women in their sins, that they might find their way to be reconciled unto him. Now then, the psalmist not only knows the nature and the character and the purpose of the Word of God, but he has a very personal relationship with that Word. Thy Word is a lamp. Yes, it is. Thy Word is a light. No question that that is a fact. But then it is a lamp unto my feet. And it is a light unto my path. It is my lamp. It is my light. Ah, how blessed it is whenever we can say that. I am a poor, lost, perishing sinner. I've come into this world undone and ruined, lost. I don't know where to find God. I don't know how to find peace with God. I'm a poor, lost man. I'm a poor, lost woman. I'm lost in my sins. I'm lost on my way to eternity. But oh, the marvel of it. God has provided a lamp. God has provided a light. And I have taken it by faith. And I have received it. It is my lamp. It is my light. I have received it from God with gratitude. Now we might come here Sabbath after Sabbath, week after week, month in, year out, and we hear the Word of God, we accept it is the Word of God, we wouldn't dare to contradict it, nor would we allow others to contradict it, but there's no personal relationship existing between us and the Word of God. We hear of others benefiting from their knowledge and understanding of it, but we have no real personal relationship with that Word. There's been no reception in the heart for that Word. We go on in darkness and in our ignorance, regardless of the fact this great provision has been made for us. Thy Word, because it's God's Word, it's perfect. Because it's God's Word, it's complete. It cannot be improved upon. There cannot be better light. There cannot be any greater lamp of guidance than what God Himself has provided. The Word that is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. You see, we may walk in the light of our own sparks, as the prophet spoke of others doing. Sparks of our own imagination, sparks of our own understanding, our own intellects. But the psalmist has taken the Word of God, knowing his own ignorance, his own darkness, and he has taken the great provision that God has made. And he says, this is my lamp. Others may walk in whatever light they want, but this is my lamp to guide me, the lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. And that obviously indicates that not only has he taken the Word of God personally to himself, but he's actually making use of it. Now, if I were to ask a simple question, just a very simple question, what use do you make of God's Word? How would you reply? What use do you make of God's Word? What would you say? Would you say, well, I read it, and I discuss it sometimes. I find it has many very interesting subjects to talk about. It's an interesting subject for conversation when I'm in certain company. I make use of the Word of God when I get into trouble. Amazing how many times when death or a bereavement comes into a family, I found it again and again, as every servant of God finds. People are looking for the Bible then. Families are looking for it. They've neglected it for years. Then all of a sudden, it's nice to have family worship. It's nice to have the minister to come and read a portion and offer a prayer, as they say, and so on. And so we make use of the Word of God when we feel we need some comfort. We make use of the Word of God whenever we're not very sure of ourselves. We make use of the Word of God whenever we're despondent and despairing. We look for some sweet promise somewhere. We make use of God's Word in such a way as we actually abuse it. The psalmist says, thy Word is a lamp unto my feet. He's speaking of the path of life itself, a light unto my path. He couldn't, as it were, make any progress without that lamp, without that light, indicating that day by day, moment by moment, he made use of the Word of God. It was as though he couldn't live without it. The path of life itself is strewn with dangers. The path of life is full of trials and afflictions. What did the psalmist say? This word of thine, my comfort is in mine afflictions, for in my straits I am revived by this thy word alone. There was no substitute, as far as the psalmist was concerned, for the word of God. The tragedy is, we only turn to the word of God whenever everything else fails. There isn't any substitute for the word of God. Yet that's what we so often are guided by and what we take as our counselor. The word of God cannot be substituted by popular opinion. And that's how many, sadly, yes, many who claim to be Christians and claim to be the children of God, they follow popular opinion, popular religious opinion. And they say, well, the majority can't be wrong, so if we're in the majority, we must be right. Popular opinion. God in his law through Moses required that his people would not follow a multitude to do evil. If it was a whole multitude and they're doing evil, God forbade any following in that route. The word of God cannot be substituted either by majority consensus. And just because the majority have concluded after their research or whatever that this is the way, we will then decide that's the way. The psalmist says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. My feet will go astray without that word. My feet are the feet of a natural wanderer. What did the psalmist say at the very end of this psalm? I, like a lost sheep, went astray. I, like a lost sheep, I went astray. And I have learned how much I need the lamp and the light of divine revelation. And you see, many there are, and they are led astray, because they follow the consensus of opinion in their day. And others, and the word of God, we must understand, cannot be substituted with anything or by anything. It cannot be substituted for cultural customs either. I hope no one takes offense at me saying this, but, you know, I hear from some of you on occasions, and when we had been here, my wife and I, for a short time, I used to sometimes respond to her again and again, well, this is Australia. This is where we are. This is Australia. And the idea is, well, Australians, you know, well, they're a bit different from the Scots, and in fact, they're different from everyone, and so on. And we have our Australian customs, we have our Australian way of life, we have our Australian culture, and so on. Every people will say the same. But there is a Christian culture. And that's the culture that a child of God adopts. A Christian culture. And it doesn't matter whether he's in Australia or New Zealand or Scotland or England or China or anywhere else. A Christian is a Christian wherever he is, wherever she is. And the culture of the country or the nation or the society in which they live does not govern how they think, how they behave, how they conduct themselves. There is a Christian culture. And it matters not to me in a certain sense. I'm born and bred an Ulster man, and they are a very proud race of men, there's no doubt about that. Very determined, very strong-willed. But my dear friends, if I am a child of God, I am a citizen of heaven. That's what Paul taught. That's what he reminded other believers of. Our conversation is in heaven. And the word there, our conversation, means our citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven. My culture is a heavenly culture. I belong to heaven. I am governed by the laws of heaven. My thinking, my attitudes, my lifestyle, my way of life is not governed by the society in which I live, but it is governed by the laws of heaven. The Puritans used to talk about heaven on earth. And that's where the people of God are in their minds and their thoughts. They are citizens of heaven, and they live like citizens of heaven, and they don't excuse themselves. You know what Paul said of the Cretans? They were always liars. They were slow bellies, always liars. Little wonder they want modern translations today because of their political correctness that is even in the very professing church. Preachers aren't supposed to talk that way. They're not supposed to speak of sinful conduct in such a way. And Paul told his servant, you better do something about it. You don't just say, well, that's their culture after all. That's just the way they are. We better just leave them to get on with it. He didn't say that. He said, you better do something about it. You better go and preach to them. And you better tell them and show them their sinfulness and their need to experience the sanctifying word of God's power in their lives. Thy word, the psalmist says, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And if others are walking in darkness, I must walk in the light. And if others are walking contrary to the word of God, I must walk according to the word of God. And the word of God cannot be substituted by generation, fashions, and opinions either. You know, it's so sad in our day, these in the professing church, the catering again and again for the young generation. Now, I'm not at all underestimating the importance of that. I do believe that it is a vital concern, it must be, of the church, the rising generation. But you look at the way things develop in the professing church. What happens? Oh, we're told the young people are losing interest. They're not interested in the old-fashioned gospel. They're not interested in our form of worship. What will we do? They're interested in pop music. They're interested in the new styles and fashions. They're interested in all kinds of things that the last generation didn't even have access to. So what will we do? We'll have to brighten up the worship a bit. We'll have to bring in a few bands. We'll have to bring in some kind of entertainment so that we hold on to them. Instead of preaching covenant theology, what do? We innovate. And what happens? Bit by bit, step by step, stage by stage, everything's changing. Everything's changing. The attitudes to God's holy day changes. The attitudes to God's house changes. The attitudes to God's word alters. The attitude to the old godly changes as well. It is something, dear young people, to lay to heart. Everyone here, including myself, who might be a bit older, we once were young and foolish too. And we used to sometimes think that we were wiser than our ancestors and our forefathers and wiser than our parents and so on. And we thought that we could indulge in a little bit more liberty than the godly who were older and more mature and more experienced. But listen, Paul gives this advice, and it's very good advice, to follow the examples. The examples of the godly. Paul told Timothy, be thou an example. Don't just preach. Just don't spend your time exhorting. Be an example. And be such an example that you expect your hearers to follow your example. And the apostle himself set himself up as an example, and he said, follow me as you would follow Christ, as I follow Christ. Follow me, follow my example. Dear young people, don't think for one moment that the godly examples of those who are older are out of date, out of fashion. And don't think that you'll be more spiritual or that you'll be more pious by ignoring or despising the godly examples of the godly who have advanced a long life's journey, a lot longer and further than you have. It is a sad reflection upon the state of the professing church. Whenever the gospel has to be molded around the young who don't want the old-fashioned truths, who don't want the old-fashioned lifestyle, who want to modernize everything, and forget that those who've gone before feared the Lord. That's one thing that has sadly, sadly disappeared from this generation. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. That is gone from us as a generation, the fear of the Lord. And you see, very sadly, some who are older believers almost make excuses. They say, oh, well, you know, in our day we didn't do this. In our day we didn't do that. In our day. Now, what was special about our day? God's word doesn't change from one generation to another. And God does not lower the standards of grace and Christianity and piety and holiness. He does not lower them. He doesn't change them. He doesn't alter them. They are the same in every generation. Godliness, holiness is the same in every generation. And you see, the generation rising up is in danger of sometimes thinking, well, we're more clever than the last generation. We have a better understanding of the things of God. We know we're stronger. We can do things that they were afraid to do. Isn't that right? We can do things they were afraid to do. We're stronger spiritually, so we wouldn't be tempted as easily. They were always afraid of being tempted into sin. They were always afraid of the devil ensnaring them. But we're stronger. We know better. We know how to contend with the devil and his temptations far better than they did. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. And the psalmist knew that danger, and he says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path, because if I don't follow in the light of that word, I am going to stumble into danger. And certainly the word of God cannot be substituted with personal ideas and personal opinions. And so often you see, you hear this. I've heard people say again, and you will have heard it. The emphasis is always on I. Don't see any harm in that. I can't see any wrong in it. Don't you hear that? Who am I? Thy word is the authority. Thy word is a lamp unto my path, because I'm an ignoramus. Thy word is a light to me, because without it I'm lost. And I have no right to come to God and say, well, I really don't need thy word. I'm a very clever individual. I'm very smart. I'm very streetwise. I'm very worldly wise. I know what I'm doing. I know where I'm going. I know how to go. Isn't that what we hear? People say, well, it's my opinion. Or I am thinking. Or I don't see anything wrong with this. Or I don't feel there's any harm in that. Isn't that what we hear? My great mission must be to discover, well, does God see any harm in it? Does God find any problem with it? Does God forbid it? Does God approve of it? That's my concern. The psalmist says, I have set the Lord always before me. I've set the Lord before me because I want to please him. I care not what the world thinks of me. I care not what even Christians think of me. I'm not interested. I want God's approval. I want to walk with God. I want to walk in communion with God. It's his fellowship. It's communion with him. It's his blessed presence. It's his company on the journey of life that I want more than anything or anyone. It's a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. And it has to be not only so, the path of life, the path of duty. What will thou have me to do? Do you open up God's word and ask God as you speak to him, I'm taking thy word as a lamp to my path, as a lamp to my feet, as a light to my path. I'm not sure where to go, not certain how to go, but I'm taking thy word, I'm putting all my confidence and all my trust in it. Guide me with thy word. Show me from thy word the path of duty. Show me from thy word through the light of thy truth. Show me where the path of duty lies. That's how we ought to treat the word of God. That's how the psalmist was. He didn't just make use of it in the proper way, but he had full confidence in it. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. He's not looking to other lights or to other lamps. He's satisfied. He's confident. There's a sufficiency here. The word of God is the best light available. What God has provided is amply sufficient and more so. And the psalmist takes the word of God to guide him in the path of duty. You see, people are sometimes guided by their feelings. I feel this is all right. I have a good feeling about this. Don't you hear people talking about good vibes? I remember one of the manses, the pre-Presbyterian manses, was for sale in the Isle of Skye when I was there. And so there were people coming to view it with supposedly interested maybe in buying it. And one of the elders was there, of course, to open the manse up and to show the people around it. And sometimes I would ask, well, what did they say? And with a smile on his face, he said, on this occasion, oh, well, there was a mother and her daughter came, and as soon as she entered, she shivered. He says, I don't like the feeling in here. I don't like the vibes in here. Little wonder, it was a Free Presbyterian manse. But that's how people go. That's how they think. My feelings. I go by my feelings. I've got good feelings about this. I've got a bad feeling about that. The psalmist says, I will not rely on my feelings. I will not trust to my feelings that change from day to day, from moment to moment. Thy word is what I put my confidence in. Thy word is a lamp to my feet, a light unto my path, to direct me in the way of duty. What will thou have me to do? Lord, show me through thy word. If I can't be shown through the Word, I'm going to blunder. I'm going to make a mistake. I'm going to fall into trouble. Guide me through thy Word. And you know, you find, and this is a lesson perhaps young Christians need to, well, older ones too, but particularly young Christians sometimes need to learn. In the prophecy of Isaiah, you have there the instruction regarding the man who may be walking in darkness and have no light at all. And that's very often, sometimes, what believers may think they're actually experiencing. Isaiah 50, verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant? Now, isn't that really good, that someone would fear the Lord and that they would be obedient to God's voice, that walketh in darkness? Now, you see, the psalmist says, well, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So I'm not walking in darkness. Is this a contradiction? Here is one, and they fear the Lord. They're genuine, they're true, they're honest. They obey the voice of his servant that walketh in darkness and hath no light. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Now, what does that all mean? It means this. The word of God in its silence is saying, wait. I waited for the Lord my God and patiently did bear. I waited. I wasn't getting light. I was beginning to get concerned. I was beginning to get anxious because I wasn't getting light. So what do I do? Do I just, well, turn my back on God and his word? I can't wait anymore. I'm not prepared to wait. My patience is at an end. No, the silence is God's silence. And God speaks in his silence. And what does he say? Wait. Wait for light. And it will come. Because the word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will not move. And I will not trust to myself. I'm in darkness at the moment, but I wait here and I will not take a step until I have light from the Word of God, because that Word is a lamp to my feet and I will not move until I have light. Dear young people, learn that lesson. We by nature, we're impatient creatures. And when God doesn't move according to our schedule and our timetable, what do? We think, well, God's asleep, or he's not interested. But very often he's simply saying, wait. Wait for me. Wait for my guidance. Wait for my instruction. Wait for my light. And the psalmist put his confidence in the Word of God. And he depended upon it. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet. If I don't have that lamp, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. If I don't have that light on my path, I'm sure heading for disaster. How often we may profess to love God's word, but we're not depending on it. When God doesn't say the right thing, you've heard it, I'm sure. So often people, they look to the word of God and they look for special promises. If they're not what they think are appropriate, they just ignore them. It's not for me. It must be for somebody else. We need to learn. It's an exercise of soul that is difficult. The Lord has to say to every one of his people again and again, you have need of patience. Has ever the Lord said that to yourself? Young man, young woman, you've need of patience. Older man, older believer, you have need of patience. And I will teach you patience. And I will make you wait. Not because I want to make life difficult. Not because I want to afflict you. But I want to make you Christ-like. And I want to make you ready for heaven. But when the psalmist says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, surely, surely, it is the path to heaven. It is the light to guide the poor sinner in darkness to the Savior of sinners. As we have it there in Psalm 36, in thy light we shall see light. In the light of the word we shall see the light of the world. How very, very important that is. In the light of the word we will see the light of the world. And if we come to the word of God in our darkness and in our ignorance, where will that word lead us? Where will it enlighten us to? Where will the light guide us to? It will direct us in one direction, to the glorious Redeemer, the Savior of sinners. And if we haven't found Christ in the word, we haven't read it aright. If we haven't found a Savior for our souls, then we're not taking the word as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, because it of necessity, the very purpose of it, is to guide us to the Savior. We don't read the word of God just to find a moral code. We don't read the word of God just to direct us out of trouble when we get ourselves into it. We go to the word of God to find a Savior. We go to God's holy word to find a Redeemer, to find light on our condition before God, and to find the glorious light of the world himself. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Can you honestly say this? And can you say today, I'm taking God's word. I'm lost. I'm on my way to eternity and I'm lost. I'm in great darkness and I know it. But I'm turning to the word and I'm pleading with God. Give me light. Give me light. And what will God give? He gives light to a darkened sinner in and through the person of his own Son, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why are you reading God's word? Why are you reading your Bible? Is it just to make you feel better? Or is it to find Christ? To to find a Savior, because you won't find him anywhere else. Oh, my dear friends, you will not find a Savior anywhere else but in that Word. It's the only light that will guide us to him. It's the only lamp that will lead a poor, blind, lost sinner into peace with God and reconciliation with God. When you take your Bible, open it up and pray to God, show me the Savior. Show me the Savior, the light of the world. May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray. Our gracious God, bless thy word to us. We live in days when it is neglected, when it is ignored. We are reaping what we have sown. The church is in a mess. Society is lost. And yet we have that most precious source of light. Oh, have mercy on us. Turn us to it. Enable us, every one of us this day, with decision of heart and spirit, to take thy word and to be conformed to it, to walk in its light and obedience to it. Bless thy truth, impart understanding of it, receive us, pardon us, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.